Ancient Warfare. The History of Troy. Heinrich Schliemann, Part 1. Early Life to Troy. In 1829, at the age of 8, Heinrich Schliemann's father gave him an illustrated version of Homer's The Iliad and the Odyssey. Now, this is a book that has some illustrations in it. It's not like a comic book or an illustrated comic book that we have today. The story captivated him, and he resolved that someday he might rediscover Troy. To do that, Schliemann needed money, so he devoted his early life to commerce. Thanks to his enthusiasm, as well as his great luck, he made not one, but four immense fortunes at various times in his life, especially by supplying war materials for the Russian army through the black market during the Crimean War, and later by running a banking operation in California during the gold rush. After solving his money problems, Schliemann was ready for archaeology. Besides exploring Troy, another of his childhood dreams was to see the Great Wall of China. So he went there first. By hiring private guides, he visited the Great Wall. He enjoyed climbing it and measuring its bricks. He detached one of the bricks from the walls and carried it down. His guides laughed at him because of all the trouble he went through to carry a single brick. I would point out that they're not a brick like we use in a regular house. They're a much bigger brick. His visit to China took Schliemann's thoughts away from Troy. He visited almost half of the countries in the world in the 1800s and learned 12 to 13 languages. Schliemann had three children by his Russian wife. By now he was 43 years old and weary with gray hair. He still had no idea what he would do with the rest of his life. For a while he thought about being a writer. And then he thought about being a philologist, someone who studies languages. He was restless and very unhappy. He went back to America, but didn't stay long, heading back to Europe and ending up in Paris. In Paris, he lived the exciting and luxurious life with his mistress, but nothing satisfied him. He began to think, why was he living? Why was he so unhappy? Why was he always wandering around the world like a homeless beggar? While he asked himself these questions, the memories of his home, which had enchanted his childhood, filled him again. He did not wander around like Odysseus for so many years, and didn't he return then to Ithaca and his wife Penelope? Didn't Odysseus enter his own home disguised as a beggar on his return from his long wanderings? While in Paris, Schliemann had studied archaeology at the Sorbonne, such as archaeology was in its infancy. Now Schliemann decided to go to Greece. He thought he might even find his own Penelope. Eventually, he would indeed marry a Greek woman. Hopefully, that would stop his wandering. From the moment he set foot in Ithaca, and yes, he went to Ithaca in Greece, he was like a man enchanted. He had to go everywhere and do everything. And in a short time, he organized a small team consisting of a donkey and four workers, and they started to dig at Mount Athos. He found 20 vases containing ashes. He was sure they were human remains. He thought one of these might well be the ashes of Odysseus or Penelope. This easy success led Schliemann to believe in his innate ability as an archaeologist and simply whetted his appetite for more excavating. He worked by instinct and with great enthusiasm. After several fruitless digs, he then ended up going to Mycenae, and then the Tiryns, and then the Athens. And later he set out for Troy by way of Istanbul. In Turkey, the Russian consul obtained a guide for him as well as two horses. And then he wandered over the plain of Troy, but he was in high spirits. However, Schliemann was confused. Where was the great harbor? Where was the bay that Homer described? He saw the Hellespont. He saw the islands. He saw Mount Ida. And he saw the two rivers. But where was the city? And that would ultimately then lead him to begin his excavating career. And I've already talked about the fact that most Europeans were unaware of what the natural surroundings were and why they had changed. In the case of Troy, we've got very, very good description of where it sat. So it's not unbelievable that he would then say, well, why can't I find it? And, you know, after it was abandoned, after Troy 6 was abandoned, you would have seen those fortifications for quite some time until the Greeks built over it and the Romans built over that. But it is really unusual just how a lot of this stuff just disappeared. If you read about the discovery of Nineveh by Lanyard, found these piles of dirt and began excavating and found all of these cities underneath them. But at that time, they couldn't read cuneiform, and they weren't really sure what they were. And so in the 1800s, you really have these people like Schliemann, Lanyard, and others going out, digging, finding stuff, and then trying to make sense of it. In the case of Troy and Mycenae and Evans in Knossos, they're finding things that don't really have a good description except in Homer and some of the old myths of ancient Greece. Whereas when Lanyard starts finding things in Mesopotamia, there's context in the fact that the Persian Empire had been there, and knew the Sumerians had been there, and you had the Old Testament of the Bible, which talked about the city of Jonah. But most people in that area had no idea of what they were going to find or what was on top of different things. In the case of Schliemann, he has a site that is so well known in the ancient world that they build over and over and over again. And his early archaeological training just doesn't equip him for how to deal with that. At least when Lanyard was digging in Mesopotamia, they just found basically one city, and you just have to put everything back together. So we'll do the rest of Schliemann's career and talk about his digging up the gold and what have you in our next segment. Now, the sources for this are Troy by Askin, Troy, 1700 to 1250 BC by Fields, Guide to Troia Wallusa by Korfman, In Search of the Trojan War by Wood, Helen of Troy by Hughes, and The War at Troy by Quintus of Smyrna. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.